Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
There's not much to talk about, unfortunately, here on a Thursday in July. Waiting on football. Oh, wait.
We can talk about country music again.
Country music.
Little Debbie's food, anything. Listen, we got plenty of topics.
Country music was a hit. I got a bunch of bunch of compliments and suggestions of good songs.
I watched a great documentary last night.
What was it called?
It was about Garth Brooks.
Oh, really?
Ironically, about country music, his career.
This probably isn't the day to take this jab, but I'm going to anyway. You know what's kind of funny? Is one of our topics today is going to be a history-making event yesterday here in the town of Elk City, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And that was my man Trace Hill winning the OGA's State Amateur Championship, which has never happened for a golfer in Elk City.
That's so cool.
I don't think, looking through the record books, texting some people, closest we could find was Mike Ford. Back in the 70s, was a runner-up in any OGA event.
Wow.
Because they've got the four-ball, the senior four-ball, state-am, state-stroke play, mid-am. There's a bunch of different events that they put on. And as near as I could tell, looking through the history books today on the OGA website, Trace is the first person from Elk City to win one of those. So that's a huge thing. And, you know, there's been different text groups with different people. You know, congrats, you know, Trace just won. How cool is that? Da da da. And, you know, there was some recruiting stuff going on back in, you know, could he go to OU? Could he go to OSU? You know, where's he? And he ended up going to OCU, which, by the way, we'll get into that when we talk about yesterday, but they're looking pretty good.
You think?
If you just look at how that went
out
there at that tournament, yeah, they're looking pretty good for the next couple of years. Anyway, one of the groups is majority Oklahoma State fans.
Okay.
And the comment was, well, just like Toby Keith said, he should have been a Cowboy. And that got me to thinking, when you mentioned Garth Brooks, mm-hmm. you know, when you go to Stillwater to football game,
right?
There's a few things that always happen. You always see the clip from Tombstone. Hell's Coming With
right,
Me.
Right.
You always hear Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks.
Of course.
And you always hear Should Have Been a Cowboy.
Right.
Sung by maybe the most famous Sooner on earth right now.
Do they have to pay royalties of that?
I don't know. I just thought that's, you know, obviously Garth fits right in.
Well, of course. I've always wondered that. If they have to pay.
Or if you just blare
big
it and move
OU
on.
Booster Toby Keith. Royalties.
Probably
play
not.
Play it at OSU.
Probably not. They just play the song and move on.
If he wanted to be a jerk, you think he'd go, hey.
It's possible.
You can't do that without paying me to.
It's possible.
He probably doesn't care. He seems kind of a laid-back guy.
He's too busy out at Belmar
yeah.
having cocktails on the porch.
Yeah. In a red Solo cup.
Maybe so. We could probably keep this going.
We got to be careful.
With song titles before we get in trouble. There's something else that has a cup in it that nobody wants to know about. So we'll talk about the OGA State Amateur Championship coming up here at the top of the show. Also, I mean, quite frankly, the biggest topic in sports right now is the breaking news from the Houston Chronicle yesterday. Oh, William, that is funny.
That is a good a good one.
That's funny.
The text line's already blown up. Country music, man, it's a trigger for our listeners.
Well, here we are. I mean, our sister station is, you know, what was it, the Big Signal at the OABs a couple years ago.
Right.
That plays country music.
The Big Stick.
Yeah, something like Big Signal. Big Stick.
Whatever. It was the Big Stick.
Anyhow, yeah. Yesterday, about 2:45, 2:30. It's like the world changed when, how do you say his name, Brent Zwerneman?
I don't
I'm going to go with Zwerneman.
Sounds good to me. If we said it wrong, he can call
Zwerneman.
In.
Zwerneman. That'd be awesome. Wish you would.
And we could also get some more information.
I would love to ask him why he broke that story then. That's a question I have.
Well, you know, he is the A&M beat writer.
I do know he is the A&M beat writer. Zwerneman. Anyway, he broke the news that Oklahoma and Texas have basically asked the SEC about joining the conference. Which, you know, it's so deja vu, because 10 years ago is when everything kind of blew up.
You know what yesterday was?
What?
10 years ago to the day that A&M announced
A&M
that
Colorado,
they
Missouri,
that
were out.
They're gone. You think this wasn't strategically planned?
And, oh, by the way, A&M was on the stage yesterday down at the SEC Media Days.
This was all planned.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Documentary about this.
We'll talk about it and why it happened that way. So Oklahoma, Texas, how real is it? We'll talk. There's so much to unpack with this move. And quite frankly, to me, the more interesting part of all this is, where does everybody else go?
Yeah, because that's something no one's talking about.
That's the most interesting part to me, is where does everybody else go? Because when, you know, the Grand Rights comes up in 2025 for the Big 12 as far as TV contracts, there's already reports last night that as soon as Monday, OU and Texas are going to tell the Big 12 they are not going to enter into another TV contract with the Big 12. So, I mean, you know, that's the end. Almost an end date there, if it happens faster, whatever. But we'll get there. Promise we'll get there. Get everybody's thoughts. There's just a lot to it. But where does everybody else go? How does it look? Does the Big 12 stay together with other teams? There's tons there. This will be a topic until football starts, and probably through the season as things start to kind of either come to fruition or don't. This is one of those that's not going away, as far as a topic on the show for sure. And then also, of course, Trace. What an awesome, awesome accomplishment from Trace Hill yesterday at the OGA State Amateur Championship. We will talk about that at the top of the show, and maybe even have some guests next week as well.
Can you say who?
I will say who once we get to it. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listing area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. Live stream us that way, or download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon Communications, radio stations, Penny News. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. It's filtering out there as we speak. This week's edition, 20 pages of awesome, awesome, awesome deals in the Penny News. Big Oak TV, Paragon TV coming back before you know it with high school football and then eventually high school basketball action. Then also Skinny on Sports podcast. Missed show entirely, you can go back and listen on KADSAM.com. You can find us on iTunes and you can subscribe there. And you subscribe, and then you'll be alerted when the new podcast drops. Also, you can find that on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. All right, so yesterday, history made, at least for Elk City Golf, with Trace Hill winning the OGA State Amateur Championship. He was able to defeat his soon-to-be teammate Dylan Teeter of Bixby, a one-up in the final yesterday afternoon. Had to win two matches yesterday in the semifinals and then the finals, and both of them were comeback wins. And even stretching back to Tuesday afternoon in the quarterfinals when he played Luke Phillips of Sayre, at three straight comeback wins for Trace in the quarters, the semis, and the finals. He was three down through seven in that the quarterfinal match to Luke Phillips. Actually, was one down going to the last hole, won the last hole, then won the 19th hole with the birdie, which was number one, a par five there at Cedar Ridge. So he comes back from three down through seven in the quarters, came back from two down through seven in the semifinals against Austin Hanna to win that match two up. And then yesterday, he was two down through 14 and went par, birdie, par in 15, 16, and 17, won all three holes, and then tied the 18th with the par to win the finals one up. Just an awesome, awesome display. And I don't know if people realize how tough an ask that is for 3 days of golf to win six matches, you know, two a day, to become the state amateur champion. just an incredible performance, and congrats to that guy for being able to mentally and physically stay in it all the way to the end like that.
What blows my mind is that he was just playing for he got the individual state title just last spring, and you know, his team was right there. This kid is just out of high school. He hasn't even been the freshman orientation yet in college, and he's doing this. That is awesome, and kind of alluded to it. It's going to be awesome to watch his college career. I mean, we're going to be watching it closely, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting to think about that. Yeah, him being that young.
It's so cool to me. You know, the ceiling I don't think has been reached for him.
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
And it's funny because, like, I don't know what day it was of the week. It was Wednesday or Thursday when we were setting up our group for the weekend, for Saturday anyway, to the club. I text Trace. I was like, hey, man, you got a group yet? And he's like, no, I'm gonna be gone on Saturday, headed to Tulsa for the state amateur. He goes, man, I think I have a good chance this year. I'm like, well, yeah, of course you do, you know, because he's good. But, I mean, that's such a hard ask to be able to do that. And you know who might be even more happy than, say, you know, Trace or even the runner-up Dylan Teeter? Parents, friends, family.
I was about to say his mom.
Whoever else, you know, outside of, like, the close knit. Andy Crabtree.
I'm going to guess that's the Oklahoma City University men's golf coach.
You're going to be exactly right with that assessment.
Without even looking that up, I'd assume, because he had a lot of representation there, right?
He did. The finals were between two of his guys. And then also, let's see, Dalton Daniel, did he make it to the quarters? He did. He made it to the round of 16. So three of the top 16 in the OGA State Amateur Championship were guys that are going to be on his team next year, with Trace, with Dalton Daniel, and then with also Dylan Teeter. So that's pretty amazing.
That is awesome.
Pretty amazing run there for OCU golf. But congratulations to Trace. And I mentioned he'll be here next Wednesday.
He'll be in-house.
He will be in the house next Wednesday. And he's also bringing
the trophy.
Maybe in more ways than one. Don't know how to say that. Now I feel weird. He's also bringing, he might bring the trophy with him, but I know for sure he's bringing the 2020-2021 OGA Junior Girls Stroke Play Champion, and also an individual state champion in Class 4A this year, Maddie Camus from Kingfisher.
Cool.
So we'll have, basically,
no disrespect to her, but I kind of want to see the trophy. I want to see that big trophy he was holding in that picture.
I'm going to avoid this.
No, it's going to be cool. It's going to be neat to have them. Now, where's she? Is she?
Kingfisher going to OCU?
That's what I was. That's what I was
going to be playing. Going to be playing in the 24th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes. So not only will you get to talk to her, you also get to see her hit golf shots. And here's going to be maybe my favorite question to ask him. Who wins?
I don't know, man.
Who's better?
You're going to ask them that?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. That's okay. I was going to ask him, what are you doing date night? Topgolf? I mean, what do you do?
Putt-putt.
Putt-putt.
You imagine how intense those matches might be?
Yes.
Do you think as one of them, the ball's going in the hole, one of them goes over and just whacks it out of bounds? Oh, sorry. You're off the carpet. Replay. Thought you made a two. Now you're hitting four. Does somebody stand on top?
Sorry, the windmill got the ball. Yeah. Did you not see that?
Does somebody stand on top of the anthill and not let it go in? They get behind? No. It'll be fun to have them in. It's going to be golf field guests next week with Trace and Maddie on Wednesday, and then Rain Gibson on Friday, who will tee off here in about 4 hours up at the 3M Championship in Minnesota alongside Weatherford's Quade Cummins. You know, you think about, to me, you know, we talked about Taylor Varnell and his ascension through the Chicago White Sox farm system. You've got Quaid that's about to make his PGA Tour debut as a professional golfer. He's played in tour events, but not as a pro yet. About to do that. You got the you got Trace. The high level, the high level in Western Oklahoma right now, you know, collegiately all the way into professionally. Obviously, I think about Sage Kimsey, who just broke a streak of 7 straight bull riding world titles. I can't think of a time when it's been quite like this.
No.
You know,
no, I can't.
And just from Elk City Golf to think, okay, so in the last, what, 2 years? Or was it 3? May have to go back 3. Was it 2 or 3? Anyhow, kids that have grown up on that golf course have now won the state individual title and the state amateur title in the same year. And another one that grew up on that golf course got to go to Augusta National and play in the drive, chip, and putt world finals and got second there.
Right.
Maybe there's something pretty cool about that golf course out there that we ought to try to keep going. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe there's something to it. It's amazing for a small town like this and just a small community as Western Oklahoma is to have that many high level folks succeeding. It's
yeah,
pretty cool.
It is.
Very cool. We'll keep in touch with Quaid throughout the week. I'll tell you how he's doing up in the 3M. Wrapping up the OGA State Amateur. By the way, Jake Bay, we talked about him yesterday. Shattuck's Jake Bay made it into the semifinal. He plays down at Abilene Christian, and he was knocked out by Dylan Teeter, 2 up. So went to the last hole, 1 down, and lost the last hole there yesterday at Cedar Ridge. But a great run by Jake Bay as well in the OGA State Amateur Championship. So congratulations to him, and congrats to Trace for winning that thing. All right, Jared, what a amazingly different world we live in, sports world anyway, sitting here today than what we did at 9:21 yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the topics that you could have thought about coming up, I don't think conference realignment would have been in the top 10. If I'd have said, hey, what's the most likely thing to kind of rock the sports world here? I don't think we could have even thought of that because there was just nothing there. You know what I'm saying? My first thought would be, okay, huge trade for the draft. What did Presti pull off? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We're a week away from the draft.
That's
right. And that's the last thing on my mind right now.
And honestly, if it had been a college football topic, my first thought, if you'd have said, okay, college football, major story, my first thought was, who got arrested?
Or who had a season-ending injury.
That's right.
Yeah, something like that.
Something totally that's negative kinda, about what's going to affect the field.
Right, right.
Instead, it was Brent Zwerneman of the Houston Chronicle who broke the story about 245 that Oklahoma and Texas have asked the SEC about joining that conference, making it the 16-team conference, the super conference. There's just so many things to unpack about this entire story from those two teams, from everybody else, from the SEC teams that are already there. How does it look and all that? I'll start with this. I wrote down about, 15 questions that would probably stretch into Monday.
Buckle up, listeners. It's going to take us to 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unravel
so
here.
I guess right at the top, why now? Why now would Oklahoma and Texas be making these overtures toward the SEC about being the 15th and 16th members of that conference?
I guess better now than in the middle of the season. That would be a huge distraction for everybody. They want to shake this out now, get it solidified before the season even starts. That way all the players, coaches, administration, fans know, okay, we're in this league for a couple more years, and then we're out of here. I guess that's why the timing would be. We talked about timing, I think off air, about the yesterday and how coincidental it was 10 years ago to the day A&M said they're going. 10 years ago to the day. And then the news drops during SEC Media Days where A&M happened to be there. Mere moments before Jimbo Fisher took the podium to start answering questions about the upcoming season, one of the first questions was asked to him about the rumors. So it my biggest question, not so much why now, but how? Like, how did this start? Who initiated the talk? Did both schools get together and then contact SEC through back channels? Did one school contact the SEC and the other school said, oh, hold on, we want to go too. We can't separate. Our rivalry is more valuable to keep together, more important and more valuable to keep together than to break apart and have a non-conference game. It means much more if we stay together in the conference. So I got a lot of questions of how and not so much of why now. You know what I mean?
Everything you read, there's no doubt that those two being Oklahoma and Texas are absolutely in lockstep with each other, tied together in this endeavor. Everything you read says that. The reason I ask why, it felt like for the first time probably since 2011 when this all shook out, that the Big 12 was starting to kind of stabilize. You're starting to see, you know, with two teams in the top 10, and the FPI, the ESPN puts out there, five in the top 20. Like, on the field for football anyway, it kind of felt like for the first time since those four teams, being Nebraska, A&M, Colorado, Missouri, left, the Big 12's in the best spot it's been in as a whole, not just for a couple of teams, but as a whole football-wise. Going into the season, this is as good a chance as they've had to have. I mean, there's never even been a conversation about multiple teams in a playoff. Now, multiple teams have had a chance to be the last one, you know, back in 2014 with TCU and Baylor, but there was no shot at both of them getting there.
Right.
And now you're already starting to hear, you know, rumblings of, and even people predicting that OU and Iowa State both get in.
Right.
Because of the way the conference has kind of stabilized. So, you know, the timing of it is kind of weird from that standpoint. I don't think there's any doubt this is a money move.
Oh, of course.
COVID. Yeah. And during all those months last year, from May till July, when we talked about the ramifications, this is that. Especially with the timeline speeding up of this,
mm-hmm.
This is COVID money related, and it's also prestige. And the thing that, man, if you haven't read, and if you want to read up on this, Clay Travis wrote an unbelievable piece. He had 9 different points. Just talking about the whole thing, you know, from why to where to how, you know, all that on this move from both angles, the SEC angle and the OU Texas angle. And the one thing that he brought up that I would have never thought about, and it's completely different than the last time this happened, because, you know, what was the buzzwords surrounding conference realignment a decade ago? It was markets. It was TVs. How many sets can you bring to the table? You know, with your TV market in your location. Now the word is more prestige, because in the last 10 years, what has happened? The cable TV thing has almost, it's not completely gone, but cable TV isn't near as important now as it was then because of the rise of all these streaming services, and everybody's got them. And so now, if you're going to use the streaming services, what do you have to have? Name brands. You got to have a reason for somebody to go to purchase that. And that's where I think OU and Texas are more tied at the hip this time than maybe even last time, because when you look around the landscape of college athletics, you obviously go right to the Big 12 because it's the smallest, it's the newest as far as poaching teams. And when you go right to the Big 12, it's obvious what two you look at when it comes to a prestige angle, and it's OU and Texas. And so I think when you look at what happened last time contractually for the SEC, they really didn't get much of a bump by adding A&M and Missouri. Nobody wants to hear that down in Collin Station or Columbia, but it's the truth. When you look at the numbers, it really didn't matter. CBS wasn't going to pay them more money because they added A&M and Missouri. Now ESPN makes this – I mean, did it not seem – like they had just drastically overpaid,
yeah,
for what they got?
Yeah.
My question is this. Or did they? How long has this been in the works behind the scenes? Because when you look at that money that the SEC generated from ESPN, you can almost make the argument, well, yeah, it's that high. You know why? They were fitting two extra people right into that pie.
Right.
So how long has this
been? Knowing that a super conference was in play.
You know, I don't think there's any doubt. Now, for anybody that wanted the playoff to stay at four, sorry, that's not happening. No, I mean, no. That's clear that ship is already sailing across the ocean. There's going to be a 12-team playoff because otherwise this move makes zero sense for OU and Texas. Why in the world would you leave the comfort of the Big 12 and the chance to make the playoff for what you're going to encounter in the SEC if there's only a 14 playoff? It's obvious that's not going to happen anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so now
you're in that prestige conference. I think when you get up to a 12-team playoff, it gives them a better chance to make it as a 2-loss, 3-loss team, even with an at-large.
Oh, for sure. Because
he can look at those 3 losses and go, oh, 3 losses. Oh, but you lost to Bama, Florida, and A&M. Oh, well, those are pretty quality losses, so you're in.
Yeah, and we'll get there because the way that it's being kind of proposed is different than what I would have thought, different from the first thoughts of how it would look.
Like four-team
divisions as opposed to two eights.
I've seen that, yeah.
Okay, so why did the news come out now? I think it's obvious. With what we said about the A&M angle of this, the writer that broke it, A&M, Jimbo was literally walking up the steps to the podium. There's not going to be a more concentrated group of media all year long for Texas A&M than there is at SEC Media Days. So now the question is why? Why now? For me, it's obvious, and I just got this text, and I completely agree with it. For me, it's obvious that A&M got wind of this and doesn't want it to happen, and so they leaked that information out there to try to kind of arouse some sentiment on their side to vote against. Maybe not.
It's backfiring.
But, you know, maybe both, maybe just Texas, maybe whatever. But, I mean, as soon as this broke, and then, of course, they're there, the first people to ask are the A&M contingent. And then you read what they said. I mean, it literally sounded like you were with Wyatt at the babysitters and the three-year-olds were arguing and the one wanted the toy and the other one didn't. I mean, Rosh Bjork, come on, bro. How embarrassed would you have to be if you're an A&M alum when your athletic director, his deal's, we wanted to be the only one in the SEC from Texas. I mean, that's you can almost see him pouting
Not
about it
fair.
As he says it.
Not fair.
So I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that this was such a strategic leak of this information coming from the A&M side to try to keep it from happening.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's backfiring on them, right? It's backfiring. They're becoming this – they cannot get out of their own way. That is notorious for A&M. They can't get out of their own way with their own – they set their own self up for bad jokes sometimes with your fake conference titles that you put on your wall – national titles, and now this stuff, the way they're reacting to this news is comical.
And listen, if I'm them, I'm the same way, though. I don't blame them for that because out of all the last rounds of conference realignment a decade ago, they are the clear winner.
Well, yeah.
In all of this. Because now what they didn't know is they unwittingly opened up the state of Texas to Bama, LSU, Ohio State, whereas that wasn't really a thing before because of the conference they play in. But they also had that advantage, a huge advantage in the recruiting world to be able to say, hey, stay here, kid from Houston. You're going to get to play in the SEC, especially if you're a defender.
Right.
That advantage goes away. Now, I don't know what good that advantage did them. What did it, I mean, you know, the inflated sense of self about what was accomplished so far in the SEC. I mean, you're in the best conference. You had Johnny Football, which was a Heisman winner. That was great. And last year was a great season, too. You know, you lost to the national titleist, and that was it. And so, I mean, you can see the upward trajectory of their accomplishments right now,
right,
with Jimbo there and getting set in. And now I totally understand – why they're saying it, because that was a big advantage that they enjoyed over top of these two teams that are coming to the SEC. I totally get it. But at the same time, I don't think A&M whining is going to keep this from happening.
No, all it takes is a majority vote, or they have to get 11 votes.
11 of 14.
I think they'll get the
you
votes.
You have to get 11 of 14.
I don't know who would go against this, because if you are creating the first super conference, the what is dubbed the best football conference in the nation for the past 20-plus years, and then for them to create the first super conference, and you mentioned money, I mean, they're gonna, hey, if we can get the Oklahoma market and the Austin market.
Yeah, I just don't think it's markets, though. I think it's the brand. The brand matters much more because of streaming.
Well,
I mean, the OU Texas brand.
Well, I understand that.
To now, add to, yeah.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, if this happens, and it seems inevitable at this point, but and you talk about, you know, okay, SEC networks, it goes to SEC Plus, and it's a streaming thing. Would you get it?
Well, yeah.
There you go.
I mean, if you want to watch the game, I mean, but that's the beauty about adding who you're adding, because I think most people would say yes if they were fans of those two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, how many bought the Longhorn Network just to watch science experiments or whatever's on there?
I don't know.
Or the 2015 Rose Bowl.
Or replays.
Or 2005 Rose Bowl, yeah. I mean, that's about all that was on there.
And that's another topic that...
Yeah, that's an easy one because ESPN is going to own the rights to the conference. They just fold that in. That's
absorb it.
That's a simple one. There's already an SEC network owned by ESPN. They own the Longhorn. I mean, that's so easy to fold that in and move right along. Is there anything, because it does feel inevitable, like this news coming out.
Sounds like as soon as Monday we could hear something.
Well, Monday's supposedly the day that OU and Texas are going to tell the Big 12 we're not signing anything in 2025.
Happy birthday to me, by the way.
As soon as that's over, we're done. Is there anything else to stop it? You know, last time when all this was brewing, you heard, at least in this state, that it can't happen. OU, OSU cannot split. Legislatively, they won't allow it. It can't happen. And then that was at the time. And then after it was all said and done and the smoke had cleared and what happened, it starts coming out that, no, that's not true at all. And actually the person that kept it from happening was David Boren back then.
Right.
David Boren's not there anymore.
Exactly.
So we know now that the legislature in the state of Oklahoma can't really do anything to keep OU and OSU together. I mean, as far as like legally. Now, are there things they could do? Sure. Cut funding, that kind of thing. That's available, but as far as some legal basis of saying you two have to be together, that doesn't exist, and it doesn't exist in Texas either. We saw it. You know why? A&M left, so we know that's not really there. So, is there anything that can stop this if both sides really want it to happen?
Outside of not obtaining the votes.
Yes, I'm talking about on the Big 12 side. I'm talking about
Big 12 side.
On the Big 12 schools side, is there anything that they could do to keep OU and Texas from doing it?
Anything legally, it'd have to be some kind of breach of contract. But like you said, they're going to inform them, say, listen, we're not going to renew. We're not going to re-up on this contract, on the TV rights. Is there anything contractually that says you have to be in this conference for X amount of years?
I don't think
so. You
see
what I'm saying?
I mean, there's the grant of rights, the contracts. Now, what happens? Here's the question. What if the other schools in the Big 12 see the writing on the wall? There's nothing we can do. They have the votes. They're gone. At that point, and I'm sure this is already happening behind the scenes, these other eight schools have got to start finding a landing spot, right?
They're scrambling.
They've got to. And so, what if it comes down to this? In order for, say, I mean, I'm totally spitballing here because it's just, you know, ideas. But what, the Pac-12, they have 12, right? So they would need 4 to get to 16, right? I mean, just saying.
And you would, yeah, I mean, so, they're as far east as Colorado, so why not keep coming?
So they need 4. So let's say that, you know, it's obvious, okay. Everybody, they're gone. So let's say you get a four-team coalition of, let's say, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Texas Tech, and TCU. I don't know if that's the four. Let's just say that is the four.
Okay.
What happens when they want to vote to does that TV contract and those grant of rights go away if you know OU and Texas would be with you? If these four, if that is their way to make the move and they're gone, what if they vote to dissolve the conference? That's 6 out of 10. How many does it take for that to happen? And if there's 6 out of
you
10.
You mean like quicker than.
Quicker than that. Yeah, boom, yeah. We're done.
Because Big 12 is done. If OU and Texas say, okay, listen, after this expires, granted rights, we're gone. We're going to the SEC. They've accepted us. Your scenario is, then the other schools schools are saying, psh,
if we got to do something.
So then we're going next year.
That's right. And
I see what you're saying. If there's no conference, why would there be?
There's not a contract to breach.
Exactly.
And if the other eight schools know that it's over, why wouldn't they do that? That way they could land on their feet softer if they had, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have those four going west. You've got, I mean, West Virginia is a clear just slip right in to the ACC. So that's seven. Say Iowa State, somebody from the Big Ten said, come on, you're in. Now, surely eight of ten is enough to dissolve the conference, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Surely that's enough. For none of that to matter. So I really think that at the end of the day, I think the only thing that stops this, if it's really, truly in the motions that it sounds like it is getting those 11 out of the 14 votes from the SEC. And I also don't think that it gets to this point if Greg Sankey didn't know, hey, we've got 11 out of 14 votes.
He kind of had a sly smirk on his face when asked about it yesterday, and all he said was, we're just going to focus on the 2021 season.
I wonder how.
And he had this little grin on his face. It's like, hey, listen, I've known about this for weeks.
Yeah, and I wonder how mad he is at A&M for leaking it.
For leaking it. Yeah. How about
Here's one to continue along that line just a little bit. I'm looking at a screenshot from the SEC Network this morning. Are you seeing this?
Yeah, I saw it.
The proposal of the 14 pods. So, yeah. I mean, you've already got it from the official network of the SEC with the potential football realignment in the 14 pods. I'm going to go out on a limb and say if this was something that wasn't really coming to fruition, the official network of the conference doesn't have this in-depth a system already laid out.
Right. Potential. Listen, when this first came down, we were already thinking of who's going to go to the East, who's going to go to the West in the SEC. It wasn't a pod format like they've already mapped out. That was the last thing on my mind. But this is innovative. Do you want to explain it, or do you want to
kind of picking through all the different aspects of the idea of Oklahoma and Texas heading over to the SEC and conference realignment. All right, so, you know, we talked there in the last segment about just the what's, the how's, the why's. Basically, at the end of the day, OU and Texas petition the SEC to get there. If that happens, then they have to get 11 out of the 14 votes from the conference members in order for it to happen. And, you know, you can read the tea leaves however you want to, but to me, with how this was released, with who released it, with it being basically an A&M leak, tells me that they are trying desperately to rally some support for this not to happen. And it also tells me that it hasn't happened yet, otherwise they wouldn't have been leaking it. Now, I encourage you, if you like this stuff and you want to read about it, I encourage you to go read Clay Travis's article on Outkick.com. It goes in-depth in multiple ways, just all the little tentacles about this. Now, and he talked specifically about how would the members vote. And he said that there has been a coalition in the past of Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, and South Carolina who have banded together to keep a second school from their state from being able to gain membership into the SEC. Obviously, Florida State or Miami, Georgia Tech, Louisville, or Clemson. But, and you know, then A&M would obviously be the fifth member of that to try to keep Texas out, keep Oklahoma out. But he wasn't so sure that that would matter if they got to 16. You know, in their eyes, in those other four's eyes, maybe, okay, we get to 16, then we're done. We don't have to worry about this anymore. And it's not a second team from our state, right?
Yeah.
And brought
it
up seems, to me.
It feels like 16 is where it would be capped.
That's right. And brought up to me on the text line just a second ago. Look at the SEC. There's two Alabamas. There's two Tennessees. There's two Mississippis.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's not like this is a precedent-breaking thing.
They've been kind of cemented in the league.
They've been there. There's no doubt.
Time.
And that's another thing. How much stroke does A&M have as a 10-year member?
That's true.
What allies do they have? They have any?
We say they are acting kind of like the toddler has his toy taken away. Then, I mean, let's think about it.
They really kind of are.
They are kind of the toddlers of the conference.
I mean, before them, Arkansas joined in 92. So, you know,
that's back when the Southwest.
That's when the Big 12 came about.
Right.
You know, 4 years before the creation of the Big 12. So, you know, you've got, 92 to 2010, that's a long time to kind of solidify what you got ahead of adding who they added with A&M in Missouri.
Right.
So, I know when I heard it, my immediate thought was, okay, who goes to the East? As far as the way the conference is and how that goes. You know, this is so hard to keep your train of thought going. When do I go bother anybody else's during their show?
No. I think it locks.
Well, you're going to have to start doing
it. I think we're going to start
doing it. Anyhow, so you're thinking, okay, 2 8-team divisions. How does it fit geographically? How does it fit? And you know, to me, what made the most sense in that would be, you know, like Auburn and Alabama going east.
Right. Kind of draw a line.
Now, right. That keeps that you might have to do one more because Missouri's in the east and get one west. Anyway, just thinking, there's ways to do that. But both the SEC Network and actually Clay in his article said, nope, it won't be the 2 8s, it'll be 4 4s. And there's a lot of advantages to that. Mainly, so right now in a 14-team league with 2 divisions with 7 teams apiece, these schools go 12 years without playing home and aways against each other, cross divisions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so in this, if you added an extra conference game, even if you kept it at 8, you'd still host every team in the league at least once every 4 years.
Right.
And I think that's hugely valuable and important. So, to me, the 4 14-team pods makes the most sense. How they get divvied up, that could be, I mean, the fight of the century for those teams that are still – that are already in that league. I don't know how you do it. It feels like you probably try to keep Texas and A&M apart. Because that's then the natural rivalry game from a different pod. You know what I mean?
Right.
That'll probably have to happen to satisfy all these rivalries that have already been created throughout the years in this league. And that would make sense that way. But the 4 14-team pods makes a ton of sense to me.
You wouldn't want to put A&M, Texas, and OU in the same pod?
Geographically, yeah, but
I mean, you can probably switch out A&M in Missouri or Arkansas, right?
You would think that Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas would be together. Who the fourth team would be? Missouri or A&M, right?
Yeah,
and
for our listeners, the pod system. Did you explain it? Pod A, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky.
This is just a potential one.
That's what it's described as, potential. Pod A, Florida, Georgia. So you got those rivals together. Kentucky, South Carolina. Pod B, Alabama, Auburn, rivals. Tennessee, Alabama, rivals. And Vanderbilt. Pod C, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, A&M. And Pod D, Arkansas, Missouri, OU, Texas. My question is, why not just bring Texas into Pod D somehow?
You mean A&M?
I mean, A&M,
because you have to have it, the way that it is now, even cross divisions, they have that one game they play every year. Alabama plays Tennessee, Georgia plays Auburn. They have that one
right.
for the schedule to work out, and that would clearly be A&M and Texas. If you have them in the same pod, then you got to find another rival for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know there's not a natural one for everybody, but I think that's the advantage of doing it that way. And, oh, by the way, another advantage of doing it that way would be to maybe satisfy A&M a little bit. They're in, but you don't have to be in their pod.
Yeah.
With both of them, or with Texas, or who, you know, whatever the major concern is. Let's move to everybody else. Because, you know, in all this realignment talk, there's not going to be chairs missing when the music stops for OU and Texas. That's just the brands they built. What about everybody else in the Big Ten, in the Big 12? Is there any chance you think that the conference would stay together and just add a few teams with the loss of OU and Texas?
Maybe, you know, you lose two, you got to get two, so at least two. And they might try to say, hey, you know what, let's go back, let's get four more. Let's get back to 12. So, but then the question is who? Maybe, but then you're risking weakening the conference, not just so much the image, but also the brand on the field.
How much does that matter right now if it's a 12-team playoff and you get, you know, the conference champ has an
automatic,
not really an automatic, but close.
Right. Yeah, that's true too. But I think the most likely scenario is the unpopular one, and that's the conference is probably going to dissolve. But for them to stick together, they're obviously going to have to find somebody. I could see Houston being in that mix. I could see the likes of, say, BYU, Boise State. Cincinnati seems like a strong football brand right now. You know, someone, you know, a couple teams like that, SMU, who knows? But I think the likely scenario is that it does dissolve. And then when that happens, if that happens, where do these teams go? And listen, we're all thinking, where does OSU go? What happens to OSU?
Yeah, I think that makes the Big 12 closer to the Group of Five than the Power Four.
Exactly.
And
that's
what
I meant about quality of, you know, I mean.
And eventually.
Is that something that even OSU wants? OSU's better than that.
I think we're clearly headed to four 16-team super conferences.
Yeah.
That's where this is going to settle. And the problem right now is you've got 65 Power 5 teams and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So that means two get left out with the musical chairs. Now, there's probably a couple in different conferences that wouldn't mind that. But they're already in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the natural look is, okay, Notre Dame's not getting left out. So now are two of these Big 12 teams getting left out at some point? And then how do you determine that? That's why I think you have got to immediately, even if it doesn't happen, welcome to the job, Kevin Weiberg. You have got to start studying this and finding a way to get Oklahoma State somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's time to get going. I mean, whatever alliances you have to start forming, if it's four of you to get out to the Pac-12, here you go. I vote for Oklahoma State to the Pac-12. I think that one makes the most sense. If you could get, you know, Tech, TCU, Oklahoma State, I don't think they would take both TCU and Baylor. So then would you have to have the Kansas basketball, you know, prestige with you? Kansas seems to make sense. It's Kansas and West Virginia in the ACC. With the basketball, West Virginia clearly makes sense in the ACC. You know, who do you take with you if you're OSU? But I think you've got to already start having those conversations with Tech and whoever else to be able to try to position yourself to move west and get in the Pac-12. We got to take a break. Come back. We'll sort of wrap this up, but it ain't going nowhere. I mean, this is good. You know what? You need to send a tweet to Brent Zwerneman. Because since I'm not going to be here tomorrow, you've got plenty to talk about.
Oh, my goodness. There's plenty to shake out from this.
There's a lot.
I'm glad you remind me you're not going to be here tomorrow.
I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!